This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We are TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. This is, of course, your daily dose of deprogramming. We are live Monday through Friday from 10 o'clock Central until noon, and my name is JD. We do this every day. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been a fantastic weekend. I hope you guys had an awesome holiday out there. I got to see friends and family that I haven't seen in years, and it was just awesome, absolutely awesome. So I hope you guys also enjoyed your weekend, enjoyed your holiday. I hope you guys are gearing up for a little bit of a New Year's Day celebration. Obviously, going to be a little bit later this week. We will be live on New Year's Day, just so you guys know. So if you have a wicked hangover that morning and just don't want to get out of bed, you could flip us on and you'll be able to join our little family as we talk about what's going on New Year's Day. I have to give an apology about Friday. I know a lot of you guys tuned in to hear Wolfgang Halbig on Friday. How do I know this? Because I got a bunch of really nice emails, and some of them were mostly along the lines of, hey man, what's going on? You guys are supposed to be live today, and you're not. So here's what happened, ladies and gentlemen, and long story short, is that you have to be smarter than the radio network system. And apparently, Friday, I missed that boat and couldn't stop the replay. So I apologize profusely. I didn't mean to leave you guys hanging there. But good news is that Wolfgang has been rescheduled, and he will be on Thursday morning now, which I think is a perfect way to start off the new year by getting to the bottom of all of the latest developments on Sandy Hook. And I'll tell you, there's a big Sandy Hook story today in the news that I am really, really happy to be able to report. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Want to let you guys know that the guest for today at the 11 o'clock hour, the second hour of the broadcast, is a young lady named Water Lily. Now, obviously, that's not her real name, and I'm going to give her an opportunity to explain why it is that she doesn't want to get her identity out there. But long story short, with Water Lily, is she is one of the developers of Scene.is, which is a social networking site sort of similar to Facebook, except it's not being run by the NSA. We'll just say that. So she is a developer of that site, along with Chris Kitsey, we had on just a couple of weeks ago. And she is also the head administrator on the site. So if you go to scene.is, pretty much any type of administerial or administrator activity or interaction is going to be with this nice young lady. Water Lily had a great opportunity to speak with her on the phone. Fascinating individual. And I think even beyond the issues of information censorship and things like that, she is really, really, really motivated by human rights around the world and some of the oppression that we've seen coming out of places like China in the last couple of decades. So we'll definitely be talking about all of those things as well. So it should be a very interesting conversation. I think you guys will take a lot away from that. Sheriff Mack will be here tomorrow. Obviously, a man probably doesn't need much of an introduction. He's a constitutional sheriff and as far as I know, he is still the head of the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association. So he has been working with that organization to really lay the foundation for what a constitutional sheriff is, what law enforcement really should be in this country. So that will be a very, very good conversation. He's one of my favorite people, and I'm really looking forward to bouncing some ideas off of him as well. And then Wednesday, Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton be on the show. They have a little show over on Truth Frequency as well, and they also have a fantastic website called Truth Stream Media, which is probably one of the most beautiful websites I've ever seen. So those guys, obviously from the old InfoWars crowd, still doing a lot of investigative journalism and probably some of the best in the world. And they're also just terrifically entertaining people to speak with. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation Wednesday. Anyways, it's going to be a big week, you guys. Again, Wolfgang will be here on Thursday. Probably before the end of the show, I'll check and see who the guest is on Friday so I can give you guys a heads up on that, but I haven't done that yet. So anyway, I apologize about Friday again. Wolfgang will be here Thursday. So that's pretty much all everything I have to say about all of that. Please go check out redpillreports.com. The people who are checking out the website cannot thank you guys enough for sharing it with your friends. I got a lot of fantastic emails over Facebook over the weekend and the holidays and things like that. A lot of encouragement. So, man, I couldn't do it without you guys. So for those of you who are tuning in and sharing it with friends, I cannot thank you guys enough. Obviously, the mortgage crisis issue is still a big deal. There are links to the at the top of redpillreports.com to all of the articles we have written about the mortgage crisis situation, as well as the petition that we're asking everyone sign. I know right now numbers are not as high as we'd like them to be. We've got a goal of about 100,000 signatures, and we have yet to hit a single thousand. So I think there's going to be some restructuring, and some ideas are going to be coming soon about how we can restructure this goal, how we can take the 500 people that have already signed up and turn them into community leaders and things like that. So if you're one of those people that's already signed the petition, be aware that we're going to be asking some things of you coming forward in the future because we need people like you who have already proven that you're brave enough to sign the petition. We need that kind of activism. We need those people out there being community leaders and getting really circling the wagons at this point. So please get those articles, get them in front of your friends, get that petition downloaded, get that in front of your friends, and get that thing signed so we can start making some headway against these criminal banking cartel that we seem to be completely surrounded by. Anyway, that is my spiel for the morning. Also, please check out Carrot Bars. There's a Carrot Bars link on redpillreports.com. Fantastic way to get yourself into some physical gold right now, and we'll talk about the price of gold a little bit when we get into the economy. But as far as big headlines on the website right now, there are some pretty big stories going down over the last week. Certainly some things happening over the weekend when we were all enjoying our holidays, one of which was this big Supreme Court decision. Essentially, the decision has come out of the Supreme Court now that you are not safe in your Fourth Amendment rights, period. And they're essentially hinging that on the fact that a law enforcement officer doesn't really need to know the law if they make a quote-unquote reasonable mistake and search you, even though there's no probable cause. They're going to go ahead and be okay with that. So we pretty much lost our Fourth Amendment rights over the weekend, kind of giving a green light to police to do whatever they want to us because they don't really have to be in tune with the law. They don't really have to understand what it is that they're actually out doing. Of course, though, you have to know all 8,000 laws that are passed every single year. I expect all of you have a Black's Law Dictionary at your home and all of you study profusely because ignorance of the law is not a shield from it when you're a civilian. Of course, ignorance of the law is apparently a shield from it when you're a law enforcement officer. So we'll have to go dig into that story a little bit more when we get into the national news. There's a big RBS investigating the Forex probe. They have now indicted another 50 people on the staff. Again, if you go to redpillreports.com, most of these articles are up on the front page. And the ones that we're going to go over in the news today, you can go to the show link there at the top. It'll talk to you a little bit about the guest, who the guest is, some links for her, and then also go over all of these articles and headlines and things that we're going to try and cover today. I usually can't get them all covered, but I do my best. So let's hop into the national news right now because there is a lot of it. Egypt has received 10 Apache U.S. helicopters from the United States, apparently, and this is according to Reuters, so you know it must be true. As this is, again, a report from Reuters coming out of Cairo, that Egypt received 10 Apache helicopters from the United States in the last week, according to security sources, and this was information was released on Saturday. The United States originally announced back in April that it was going to lift its hold on the delivery of the attack helicopters. That hold was imposed last year after the military toppled the elected president, Mohamed Morsi, and then crack down hard on his Muslim Brotherhood supporters. But the Pentagon said in September that the United States would, in fact, deliver the helicopters, which are built by Boeing, to support Cairo's counterterrorism efforts. And Egypt, obviously, is fighting an Islamist insurgency targeting mostly security personnel and based mainly in the Sinai Peninsula bordering Israel and the Gaza Strip. The most powerful militant group there, obviously, is Ansar Bat al-Madis. And they swore their allegiance last month to the Islamic State, which is the al-Qaeda offshoot that swept across northern Iraq and Syria earlier last year and now faces U.S.-led airstrikes. So we're giving more very high-tech weapons to Egypt right now. Obviously, there's a lot we could talk about here. You know, with the support of the Muslim Brotherhood, which we're not really supposed to be doing, but we're doing it anyway. Anyway, Egypt getting more helicopters, so there you go. Stick that in your crock pot and fire it up. There we go. Israel planning on building 600 new settlements in the West Bank. They just were given authority to do this over the last week. They are apparently going to build 623 new settlements in the West Bank. Obviously going to continue to create tension between Palestinians and Israelis as they move forward to do this, not necessarily a move that I support. So just throwing it out there that that's what's going on in the Israel-Palestinian issue right now. Obviously, they're not backtracking away from Israel's demand to own that sand. So what's going to happen there? Difficult to say. Let's see. Russia has adopted a new updated version of its military doctrine, and in that military doctrine, they are reflecting the emergence of new threats against its national security, and top of that list is the NATO military buildup and the American prompt global strike concept. So they are basically restructuring their military doctrine in Russia to show with certainty that NATO and America are essentially the number one enemies of Russia right now. So this doctrine was approved on Friday by Putin, and its core remains unchanged from any of the previous versions, as the Russian military remains the defensive tool with which the country pledges to use only as a last resort. But the new sections of the doctrine outline the threat Russia sees in NATO's expansion and military buildup, and the fact that the alliance is taking it upon itself to essentially realizing that the global functions that it's doing are a violation of international law. So Russia is essentially saying the things NATO are doing right now, where they're flying around international airspace near the Balkans and intercepting, quote unquote, you know, Russian planes and things like that, is obviously, or apparently, at least apparent to Russia, is a violation of international law. So there, you know, we still have rhetoric. We still have a lot of he said, she said stuff going on with NATO and Russia. Obviously, nobody working to de-escalate the situation in Ukraine, except for maybe Russia. You could actually say at this point Russia is doing some pretty good things on the eastern side of Ukraine and generally speaking for the Ukrainian people. But we'll get into that. I've got some economic news that relates to that here in just a few minutes. Let's see here. The U.S.-led coalition airstrikes against the Islamic State in Syria have now killed nearly 1,200 people, including 52 civilians, and wounded at least 800 others. And it has cost us now, in addition to $1 billion just since September. So stop and think about that for just a quick second here. Is it worth $1 billion, 1,200 people that we've supposedly eliminated? 52 of them were civilians, so not even 1,200 people that were actually fighting us. What in the world are we doing here, ladies and gentlemen? This is crazy. I mean, $1 billion to kill 1,200 people is not, from a cost-benefit analysis, very very cohesive to reality, in my opinion. So, obviously, the airstrikes are continuing. We are spending more and more money to kill people who believe differently than we do. And so, there you go. Worldwide war. I don't know how you could get much closer to World War III than where we're at right now. But, you know, that threat of World War III still is looming out in the distance, but it seems to me like we're right in the middle of it right now. So anyway, moving on to Mexico. Protesters in Mexico, marking 3 months since the disappearance of the 43 students, have turned their anger on a military base in the city of Iguala. They knocked down a door at the facility and left its walls covered in graffiti. They wrote, "Here are the murderers," written all over the military compound there, and they also threw petrol bombs, fireworks, and stones at the facility. People in Mexico are really, really upset right now, and to be honest, I don't blame them. I think that we are going to see a new revolution down there. The people are pouring into the streets still in Mexico City. The mayor of Iguala has obviously been named as the possible mastermind behind this abduction of the 43 student teachers, and allegedly he and his wife asked the gang for assistance initially because the student protests interfered with their political campaign. You see a direct correlation between somebody not wanting to hear protests against their political campaign to directly with murdering people. I mean, that's exactly what we see here, is that chain of custody. Is not far. It's not a long chain. You know, they turn these kids over to cops. The cops turn them over into a drug gang that was affiliated with the police and the military, and they burned these people. If it was me and I was in Mexico, I can't say it because I don't want to be on the radio inciting a riot. But I'll tell you what, spray painting would not be my first instinct on this one. Major snowstorm hitting the French Alps over the weekend. 15,000 people forced to spend Saturday night in emergency accommodations because of this snowstorm. Nearly 2,000 passengers stranded at Chambry Airport in southeastern France. It's a major, major, major snowstorm. So obviously a lot of people have to spend their night in their cars. They don't even have an estimate right now on the number of people who had to spend their night in their cars. So our thoughts and prayers obviously going out, making sure, hoping that everybody in France is okay. Obviously, this is normal weather in the wintertime, guys. And if this story does anything, it should just remind you that it's not even the 1st of January yet here, guys. You guys should have some survival capability in your vehicle. Certainly be prepared to spend a night in your vehicle if the snow is coming in, and just be prepared. Have that stuff in your car all the time. I've got a go bag in my car all the time. I could live for 3 days out of that thing if I had to. I wouldn't want to. But I could. So anyway, massive snowstorm in the Alps. Let that be another lesson to anyone out there that isn't prepared right now for something like that. Obviously, there's a huge international story right now with another missing Malaysian plane. This is a big deal because nobody knows what's going on. And I've been looking at this all morning trying to figure out. Obviously, there's been wild reports about the plane going missing, about it taking unusual routes, according to the Malaysian authorities. There was some early indication that the plane had landed. There was actually a report yesterday on InfoWars saying that one of the relatives of a missing passenger had reportedly received a text message, but that had not yet been corroborated by Indonesia, which is where the plane was headed to. So let's just backtrack here for a second. Rescue teams from across Southeast Asia are scouring the waters off of Borneo this morning for an airliner with 162 people on board that disappeared early on Sunday. And this, again, is a Malaysian airplane. This would be the third Malaysian airplane to be shot down or gone missing, or, you know, just the third tragic incident, essentially, to affect Malaysian Airlines in the last 6 months. Is just unbelievable. This was not a Boeing 777, however. This was an Airbus 320-200 operated by the Indonesian affiliate Air Asia, which is a regional budget carrier based in Malaysia. They apparently lost ground. They lost contact with ground controllers off the coast of Borneo, and although there has been some speculation about whether the plane went down in the water there off of Borneo, they have found no signs of wreckage yet. So essentially right now we have another Malaysian airliner that has vanished from the face of the earth, and it has 162 people on it. Nobody has any idea where this plane is at essentially right now at 10:18 Central Monday morning. So if any kind of indication comes across the wire to give you guys a heads up as to where this thing is, we'll obviously be the first people to bring it to you. But right now, put your conspiratorial hats on because there has not been enough information out about who was on the plane, or maybe some of the agenda type things that we see looking back at the MH370 disappearance. But I don't think it'll take too long for some of those details to start to surface. So we'll have to keep an eye on this one. But again, a large additional Malaysian airliner missing right now over the coast of Borneo, moving into Jakarta. So, again, not sure what's going on there, but we'll keep an eye on that for you. There was a huge fight in the Georgian parliament over the weekend. It was really broke down into a fist fight, and then people were grabbing microphones off the podiums and beating themselves and others, not really themselves, but beating each other with the microphones from the podiums and things like that. This essentially, the catalyst for the fight was when the opposition member, Akari, he swore in an address to ruling coalition MPs. And so then insults and swears started to be traded, and then they became blows, and then the fight erupted. So Georgian parliament pretty much fallen apart over the holiday weekend here. Not sure what that is going to mean in the long run, and haven't had an opportunity to really dig into this to see where the conflict in the government lies right now. But when conflicts in government, you know, are so deep that they turn out in fistfights, probably a little bit more going on there than what the mainstream wants to talk about. And North Korea coming out this weekend insulting President Obama, also blaming the United States for the internet outages going on over the weekend in North Korea. So on Saturday, they accused the U.S. of shutting down internet services to the country in retaliation for its alleged hacking attack on Sony. And they also referred to President Barack Obama as a monkey, and blaming him for the review, for the release of the interview. The direct quote from North Korea was, "Obama always goes reckless in words and deeds like a monkey in a tropical forest." Wow. I mean, that's about as awful as you could get from a, you know, international, you know, diplomacy type angle. I don't think calling another leader of a country a monkey is probably going to get you on the fast track to diplomacy, but hey, I don't necessarily think North Korea wants to be on the fast track to diplomacy. So there you go. Obviously, North Korea and internet have been up and down all over the weekend. There are reports of intermittent ups and downs still occurring right now. Obviously, it would be difficult to say without – it'd be difficult to not point the finger at the United States on that one. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of tit-for-tat kind of communications going on, and isn't it coincidental that the entire country of North Korea's internet goes down the day after they threaten the United States? Obviously, there's a connection there. But anyway, moving on, there's some crazy national stories right now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know where to start, but here's the first one that I absolutely love, is that the California State Senator, this guy's name is Leland Lee. He's a Democrat from San Francisco. Well, he's in a little bit of trouble right now. He has been charged with corruption and trafficking firearms. Now, why is this important? Because he is very well known for his outspoken views in support of gun control. Okay, this guy is one of these people that lobbies against you and me owning weapons. That's his name of his game here. And he was arrested Wednesday and charged with illegally trafficking in firearms alongside multiple counts of public corruption. Unbelievable. So this federal corruption investigation actually nabbed 26 different people on charges ranging from drug smuggling to murder for hire. And Democratic State Senator Leland Lee was indicted on conspiracy to traffic in firearms without a license and to illegally import firearms, and six alternative counts of corruption, which included handing out favors in exchange for substantial campaign contributions. If convicted, Yee could face up to 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine for each corruption charge, while the gun trafficking count by itself could result in an additional 5 years in prison and another $250,000 fine. So according to the San Jose Mercury News, the FBI affidavit claims that Yee offered to negotiate illegal firearm sales on multiple occasions in exchange for financial donations towards his campaign. Just about as awful as it could possibly be here. He also allegedly told an undercover FBI agent of his connections to firearm dealers in Asia and Russia, with CBS San Francisco reporting that he knew an arms dealer who'd been shipping cargo containers of weapons to Muslim rebels in the Philippines. We're talking about this guy going above and beyond, doing the worst things that he could possibly be doing. So he's lobbying in California to eliminate your ability to have a firearm, while at the same time organizing with the FBI shipments of large containers full of weapons to Muslim rebels in the Philippines. I just don't even know how to put that into a more clear perspective. So even though these arms deals were never actually concluded, there were several meetings, and at those meetings they discussed all kinds of arrangements, and the FBI does assert that it did give Yi cash as part of the process. So, you know, Mr. Yi, it's time for you to take your quiet exit to stage left, in my opinion, because, man, you just can't get more corrupt than that. Why is it all these people that are anti-gun are the ones who are putting themselves in position to profit from them? Isn't that always the way it is? It's just like these draconian drug laws where you have people, I'm sure, from the DEA, bringing drugs into the country. There's a reason that we went to Afghanistan. It has to do with $600 billion in opium production every year. If you don't understand the correlation between drug laws and gun laws and these idiots that are in power, I don't know how to put it more clearly, but that incident with this Yi guy is about as crystal clear as it could possibly get. And I think the more that you look, my question is, who did this guy make mad? Because obviously he had a racket going. He obviously was in power. He had been blessed by whoever does the blessings at the table here to allow him to continue with what he was doing. So did he ruffle some feathers? Did he get too greedy? Did he do something? I really doubt that the FBI would take it upon themselves to actually investigate a crime like that and then bring it to fruition. So obviously to me, something else is going on here, but I don't know what it could possibly be. Obviously, the guy made somebody mad and is now going to be paying the price for it. So that is what's going on in California. Obviously, you know, I can't say enough about these people that are in power. You know, it's this pro-gun thing and it's this anti-gun thing. So you got to recognize none of these people are anti-gun. They're anti-you and I having a gun. That's the story. They don't want, they want military to have guns. They want the police to have a gun. If somebody breaks into their house, who are they going to call? They're going to call the cops. Why? Because the cops have guns. That's why. So the whole argument is just stupid. Anyway, 3-minute break, you guys. Thanks for sticking with me. We'll come back. I've got some major Sandy Hook revelations to unload on you guys. Good news. Good news. Keep it right here. This is...
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I have got some amazing Sandy Hook news, guys. And I mean, this is huge. This broke over the weekend. And at first I thought maybe it was a hoax because I'm susceptible to being hoaxed pretty often, apparently. But this does not look like a hoax at all. This looks like this is actually going through. There are case files and things like that. But there is a huge, huge lawsuit that has now been filed, ladies and gentlemen, against big media, against the New York Times, the Post, the Bee there, which is the newspaper in Sandy Hook. This is huge. So we're talking about a $1 trillion lawsuit. Trillion with a T. As a filmmaker and author is now suing big media over the lie of Sandy Hook. And let's just get right into the statement. The gentleman's name is Brandon Shanley. William Brandon Shanley. And he is a filmmaker and an author, and he has now launched a wave of lawsuits, more than $1 trillion against big media over the Sandy Hook massacre coverage. So essentially, the first part of this story is the idea that this is all great news. And why is it great news? Is because we know definitively, without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt, that no children died at Sandy Hook. Not one kid, not one adult. That incident was completely staged. Hands down, put it away, stamp it, break out the chisels, put it in stone, it's done. It was a staged event. So, focusing on the fact that, yes, great news, no children died. That's got to be the major headline from this entire story. Here's his statement regarding the lawsuit. Again, this is, of course, again, William Brandon Shanley. I'm going to try and get him on the show as soon as humanly possible. Right now, he says, after extensive research, the good news is that overwhelming evidence reveals that no children or teachers died at Sandy Hook 2 years ago. For relief, I have filed lawsuits against the media in the U.S. District Court in New Haven for fraud and terrorism. Here is an example of our abundant evidence. They go on to show Exhibit D from this lawsuit, which is the Connecticut Police dash cam recording zero evacuation of children from the school at critical moments. You can go and see this. If you haven't yet, there is a fantastic documentary over at Media Solidarity called We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. It is 3 hours, and it is an encapsulation of probably 30 or 40 different people and their individual investigations into certain incidents at Sandy Hook, certain different anomalies. And when you put all of those anomalies together into one package, it becomes very apparent that nothing happened at Sandy Hook, absolutely nothing. And one of the things that you'll see if you go and watch that movie, We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook, is that there are police cam footage showing the parking lot that correlates to the police transcripts, okay? So they're not redacted. There are wide open shots where you can see, according to police transcripts, the points in time at which lots of kids should have been being evacuated from that building, and you don't see any of them. There are no children. There is no evacuation. There's nothing going on that would indicate that anything had happened at that school. His complaint goes on, pardon me, to state, in part, that the defendants in the case entered into a multi-year conspiracy, meeting groups separately and together to commit fraud and terrorism, i.e. to brainwash the public into thinking that a lone gunman drill known as the Sandy Hook Massacre was real, when in fact it was a staged FEMA national-level emergency exercise event. that redirected government resources to terrorizing the public. These crimes were undertaken with the intent of subverting the U.S. Constitution and to affect national, state, and local laws. This fraud involved lying to the public, faking news, publishing one-sided news reports, censoring reality, suppressing facts, and deliberately skewing the news to shift public perceptions. The true cost of this breach of integrity and trust to society are unfathomable. Instead of fulfilling their constitutional role as the people's surrogates and being honest brokers of information, the plaintiff will show how the men and women who dominate the TV news industry in the United States broke laws, besmirched the First Amendment, their constitutional role as government watchdogs, and forfeited the right to report the news and thereby profit from news production and distribution. The sin qua non of journalism is the search for truth. Our fourth estate chose a different path. Punitive damages of 1 year's annual revenue from each of the defendants are being sought to establish a new trust that will free journalism and restore trust and integrity to our communication sources. Wow. The democracy obviously cannot survive this tyranny over human consciousness. The New York Times, the Associated Press, the Hartford Courant, and the Newtown Bee are all also being sued for $10 billion. That B, as in boy, that's a lot of money. They are being sued for $10 billion each in punitive damages, each in a separate complaint. And you can go, obviously, to redpillreports.com, and you can find where these complaints are listed. This article, as I said, is in the news section right now. It's called Filmmaker Author Sues Big Media Over Sandy Hook. And this has got all the cases in it. I mean, it's got the cases, the plaintiffs, the defendants. I mean, this guy is suing Rupert Murdoch. He's suing Deborah Ternus, who's the president of CB News. He's suing Phil Griffin, who's the president of MSNBC. I mean, this person is not messing around, and I really want to get him on the show to support this because, again, Wolfgang will be on the show on Thursday, New Year's Day, and obviously we'll be discussing this development. There are so many reasons to disprove the event of Sandy Hook. It is becoming just ridiculous, and I am really, really, you know, bolstered by that because that is an incident that once we break down the veil that surrounds Sandy Hook, you guys, that's it. That opens up the floor for every other investigation that we want to pursue. The 9/11 investigation, the what happened at Waco investigation, the what happened at Aurora investigation. I mean, there are so many things that once you can prove in a court of law that that the media and the government were complicit in trying to lie to the people, man, all bets are off at that point. I mean, this will completely restructure the journalism in our country if this lawsuit continues to go through. So, I want everybody to support Mr. Shanley in that effort. I want to move on to this other story that is just absolutely the most ridiculous thing I've read in a long time. And this is reality, guys. This is the world that we live in, and this is what they were able to accomplish while we were having our holiday dinners here. The U.S. Supreme Court has now ruled 8-1 that citizens have no protection against Fourth Amendment violations by police officers who are ignorant of the law. So this obviously comes out of Washington, D.C., and a blow to constitutional rights of the citizens. The United States Supreme Court ruled 8-1 in Hyen versus the state of North Carolina that police officers are permitted to violate American citizens' Fourth Amendment rights if the violation results from a reasonable mistake about the law on the part of law enforcement. So what does this all have to do with? Okay, so in South Carolina a couple of years ago, a gentleman was pulled over. He was pulled over because he had one of his brake lights out, right? So driving down the street, one of your brake lights is out. In South Carolina, the rule is, the law, which is typically what we like to hold our law enforcement officers accountable for, the law actually says you only need one brake light, okay? You only need one. So at this point, I was pulled over illegally, unlawfully pulled over, stopped against his will, and forced into a conversation with a state highway patrol officer from South Carolina. He subsequently agreed to allow the officer to search his vehicle because he felt at the time that the officer had probable cause because the guy told him that, you know, you had a brake light out, so I have reason to search your vehicle now. So the guy let him search his vehicle. There were contraband found in the vehicle. And so his lawyers obviously said, well, the initial stop was unlawful, which means anything you find in the subsequent search typically would not be admissible in a court because, you know, you have to have a reason to initiate the conversation in the first place. Supreme Court did not see it that way. Supreme Court said, well, it was a reasonable mistake on the part of the law enforcement officer to decide to search the vehicle, and it was a reasonable mistake that gave him the permission in his mind to stop the vehicle from traveling. So now the Supreme Court has said it's totally fine if a law enforcement officer has some sort of impression of the law, be it real or not. They can act on that, and it doesn't matter. That's essentially what it is. So I've always heard and I've always purported the expression, ignorance of the law is not a shield from it, which is why I've spent 10 years studying law and contract law and trying to figure out my place on this planet, because obviously the place that they tell us that we're in is not reality. It's a complete, construction. Everything around us is complete fraud. But your ability to defend yourself against the law is hindered by your ignorance of it, because you, as a citizen, are absolutely accountable to the law, whether or not you know it or not. So if this is just this whole thing is just absolutely unbelievable to me, because we're essentially giving police green light to do whatever the heck they want at this point, and they can always plead ignorance later. But if you try and plead ignorance, well, that's not a shield from the law, is it? It's your job as a statesman to understand the world that's going on around you, and if you don't, well, you're subject to oppression by law enforcement officers. So that's where we are. That's the country in which we live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently your Fourth Amendment rights, gone. You have none of them anymore. So good times. Happy to be a part of this whole team. I don't even know what to say about that. It's just crazy. Let's see. Good news coming out of Chicago, as a new study has reported that violent crime has gone down quite a bit, and violent crime arrests go down when you give inner city kids decent jobs. That's what they did in Chicago a couple years ago. They basically dished out a summer job program for teenagers who were attending high schools in some of the city's more high crime, low income neighborhoods. And the program was meant to connect students to work. But they also, there was a hope involved with this program also that it might curb some of the other types of problems that we see in those areas, like high crime and high crime or violent crime arrests. And research on the program conducted at the University of Chicago's Crime Lab was just published to the Journal of Science. It suggests that these summer jobs actually have had a pretty profound effect. These students were randomly assigned to participate in the program, and the students who actually did the entire program had 43% fewer violent crime arrests over 16 months. So very clear that if you give kids something progressive and productive to do, the likelihood of them becoming involved with crime goes down by almost 50%. So great news coming out of Chicago, and also a good idea for a template that we can use around the country to start dealing with some of these inner city violent situations. Again, I'd draw your attention back to Commander Dale Brown at the Detroit Threat Management Center, somebody who believes that controlling the environment is so much more important than just reacting to what occurs in the environment. So if you guys didn't hear that interview, I would definitely recommend going back to the week before last and listening to Commander Dale Brown. It might have been last week, actually. Big news out of the UN also, and as it relates to the United States, the gun control UN arms trade treaty did in fact take effect on Christmas Eve. So Merry Christmas to you guys. Now, this treaty, it's kind of got a ubiquitous aim. It's supposed to be regulating the export and import of small arms for signatories. This is what Breitbart essentially synopsed the whole treaty as. And the treaty poses international gun control, and to be enforceable, it's going to require the creation of an international gun registry. The problem with that, obviously, is that people in the United States were not really interested in an international gun registry program, which is, I guess, kind of good and bad news in the fact that the Obama administration did sign the treaty back in September of 2013, but right now it has yet to be ratified because the Republican senator, James Ivanhoe, actually prevented the Senate from ratifying it. But the bad news is that future Senates can revisit the ratification if sometime in the future Democrats once again control the Senate. So we're kind of in limbo with this international arms treaty right now, but we are moving down that road. And, it's another one of these, situations where we're moving down the road around the holidays, so nobody pays attention to what's going on. And so we always want to try and bring those things to your attention. There was another story here about Los Angeles. For those of you guys who live in L.A., there were two suspects which fired on a police car with a rifle late last night. They prompted a citywide tactical alert. A citywide tactical alert is when every available officer in the city is ordered to a specific crime scene, not something that happens very often. And that citywide tactical alert resulted in the arrest of one suspect and a massive manhunt for the second individual. Second individual has not yet been arrested. This shooting occurred about 9:30 last night as officers were driving southbound on Hoover Street. And the officers did, in fact, return fire, but no officers were hurt. And they, as I said, they arrested one of the suspects at the scene and recovered a rifle. And so the second gunman still at large currently. Let's move on to some economic stuff right now. Let's see here. The Dow is up about 10 points in early trading, so relatively flat. Gold finding a new low right now of 1180, and $15.81 big pennies will get you an ounce of silver. Oil, obviously the big crux in the news right now, is remaining pretty flat. We're right at about $55 for barrel of crude right now, so we'll see where that continues to stay. There was a big revelation this weekend coming out of Russia. They have, in fact, launched their new SWIFT-style payment service, which is obviously aimed at moving away from Western financial dominance. The system is now currently operating, and they expect it to be fully functional within the next 6 months. The Bank of Russia released a statement over the weekend saying the new service was launched in order to ensure smooth and safe transmission of financial messaging within a country, and is another step towards improving the system of services provided by the Bank of Russia. The regulator said that the new service will allow credit institutions to transmit messages in a SWIFT format through the CBR to all Russian regions without restrictions. So SWIFT is a global banking system. A lot of people may not understand that it is actually a separate transaction system, which is used by most international banks. And they were under a lot of pressure to kind of capitulate to sanctions against Russia, but they had decided not to do that. So they were remaining independent because obviously they still wanted to operate inside of Russia. But Russia, again, moving as far and fast away from Western-dominated dollars as they possibly can. And they're going to get a little bit of help from China. The world may, in fact, have changed quite a bit today, as of today, thanks to China. Right now, speculation is that Christine Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund and Jim Yong Kim of the World Bank pretty much don't have a lot of meaningful work left to do, because Beijing stepped up to bail out Russia over the weekend on top of its recent aid for Venezuela and Argentina. Of course, this could potentially signal the death of the post-war Bretton Woods world. It also marks the beginning of the end for America's linchpin role in the global economy and also of Japan's influence in Asia. So again, Beijing stepped up with $24 billion in currency swap program to help Russia this weekend. Obviously a sign of more things to come. Russia, it's often said, is too nuclear to fail, and as Moscow weathers the worst crisis since 1998 default, it's tempting to view China as a good global citizen. But Beijing is just enabling Putin, who is now under zero pressure to diversify his economy away from oil, and the same goes for China's $2.3 billion currency swap with Argentina and the $4 billion loan it gave to Venezuela. So apparently China really stepping up to be the bailout captain of the world right now, which essentially is going to cut the legs out of the IMF, the World Bank, and of the Asian Development Bank. So, you know, it's a brave new world, ladies and gentlemen, and we are right in the midst of it. I was talking a little bit earlier about Russia kind of taking on a humanitarian role in this Ukrainian situation. And here's another fantastic story. Russia right now planning to supply coal and electricity to Ukraine without prepayment. So last week, they had kind of thrown down the gauntlet and said, we're going to cut off your gas if you don't give us any money. But they have now come back and said, and this isn't just speculation. This is Putin coming out and saying, we are going to absolutely supply coal and electricity. We don't care if they pay us. Doesn't really matter to us right now. We are going to supply 500,000 tons of coal to Ukraine a month going forward. Obviously, we'd like to develop a deal to give them another 500,000 tons or a million ton total every month. And there are some plans to try and get a payment system together for that. But Russia essentially saying they're not going to allow Ukraine to wither on the vine and not going to allow the people in the eastern side of the country to suffer just because NATO and the United States seem to want that effect. So, you know, I don't know how you can continue to look at the things that Russia is doing as being bad or negative. You know, obviously they're reacting to what's going on in Kyiv at the behest of NATO. So obviously somebody has to do something, and if Russia is going to be the only people there to step up and do something, you know, who's gonna argue with that? I don't know. And in another very fantastic bit of economic news, Coca-Cola down 14%. 14% decline in third quarter earnings because people are waking up to the fact that you don't want to drink soda because it has a pH of like 3 and it's really, really bad for you. Moving into some tech news here real quick. I know I'm running out of time. Please go and check redpillreports.com for all of the news of the day because we're running out of time, and I usually do. So that's just what's going on. Sony is about ready to be sued. Man, Sony's just having a bad month, aren't they? My goodness. Although, I have to admit, pains me to admit, but I'll go ahead and admit it. I did see the interview this week, and I watched it several times. I didn't go to a theater to see it. You can all speculate on how it was that I acquired a copy of the movie. It wasn't that bad. It was better than I thought it was going to be, given all the speculation about it. Anyway, Sony is about to be sued for pirating movie in the interview. That's right. So there was a singer who claimed that they failed to reach terms with Sony, and the company put her music in the movie anyways. So after not receiving a penny from the movie giant, now this young lady's name is Yoon-Mi Ray. She is now set to sue. She's going to ask for, I believe, $1 million or so from Sony. They're going to be, as I said, at the lawsuit trough for a long, long time. And meanwhile, over 1.5 million people have pirated and downloaded the interview since its release on Christmas Day. So my question is, was this the best marketing campaign ever in the history of humanity? I'm really starting to believe that it probably was, because again, 1.5 million downloads, the movie made $1 million opening day, and for all intents and purposes, should not be a movie that everybody rushes out to see. Obviously, after seeing it, I understand why it could be, there could be an argument made that North Korea wouldn't particularly like that movie. But I don't necessarily believe, and I don't believe that a lot of people think that that Sony is really responsible. Actually, here's another article coming out of Ben Swan's reporting agency here, and this is somebody talking, Kurt Stammenberger. He is the vice president of Norse Firm, which Norse Firm is an investigative firm that does cybersecurity. They're based in California, very, very high up in the cybersecurity firm world. They believe hands down that the Sony hack was definitely the job of an insider. They actually identified an employee named Lena who worked for the company in LA up until May before she quit. And apparently she would have had exactly the information as to where these servers were and what was on these servers, and they basically are saying that she had made claims that she was connected to the Guardians of Peace, and so pretty much definitively right now that we can say that this Sony hack was the result of an inside job. And that's, you know, again, was it something that they wanted to have happen so that they could promote the heck out of this movie and make a bunch of money? That could be a debate for a later time. But it is apparent right now, according to some pretty heavy-duty security analysis, that making the connection between that hack and North Korea is just not one that's really feasible in reality, apparently. So there's that going on also. Let's jump through a couple of quick headlines here. The hacker who took down the Sony PlayStation and Xbox accidentally showed his face on the internet over the weekend. His name is Ryan. He is part of the Lizard Squad, which is obviously the an offshoot of the anonymous hacking group. He essentially went on Sky News and did a face-to-face interview. Probably really didn't want to have his picture on there, but made the mistake. It's funny that some of these guys are so tech savvy and then accidentally make little mistakes like that. Anyway, said that the entire hack that brought down the Sony PlayStation and Microsoft Xbox networks over the weekend was pretty much just done by three guys. So there you go. And he was one of those three guys. Fantastic. And part of that also is that they released a cache of 13,000 passwords and credit cards of PlayStation, Xbox, and Amazon users over the weekend. Now, this particular hack is being claimed to have been taken out or carried out by the anonymous group, so not the Lizard guys that we were just talking about. But again, the Lizard guys are kind of part of the anonymous group. Big-time hacking still going on, and we're going to be talking, as I mentioned earlier, with Water Lily, who is the administrator of Scene.is, and their focus is hugely on encryption, privacy protection, things like that. So obviously, the more and more of these stories that come out about hackers stealing passwords and things like that, the more that we need to focus on what we can do to keep ourselves safe. So that will probably be part of our conversation that we have today. I'm just going to give you guys a couple of other headlines that I thought were fairly interesting because I can't really get in through all the news that I'd like to. But Canadian scientists right now developed a trap to lure bed bugs, which is the first of its kind ever in the world, which is a really unique deal. It took them like 10 years to figure this out. They were able to, for a long time, lure the bed bugs, but they didn't have anything that would lure them more than people. So they had to figure out what it was that was actually making the bed bugs focus on something like a person. And so they've actually done that now. Histamine was the active ingredient. So now they're looking at making a available bed bug trap, which, you know, may not seem like a huge deal to a lot of people, but bed bugs have actually been on the rise in the nation over the last decade to a pretty startling degree, especially hotels and things like that. So having a trap that somebody can use in their businesses or in their homes, obviously going to be a huge, huge development. So good deal. A lot of diseases are spread by bed bugs also. I have to say, too, one of the researchers, while she was developing this trap, she got bitten 130,000 times. So you think you're having a bad day, you think your job sucks? Well, you didn't get bitten by 130,000 bed bugs over the last 2 years. So maybe a little perspective there. I don't know. Scientists are now discovering that just imagining exercises can make you stronger and tone your muscles. There was a very unique 4-week experiment that went on, and it's recently been published in the Journal of Neurophysiology. They did discover that just focusing on your muscles and doing the imagination in your brain is just as good at stopping atrophy and things like that. Lots more health news I couldn't get to today. Please go to redpillreports.com. Check out the show section. Which they can do tick-borne illness that's going around. Could be deadly. Came out of Kansas. Interesting that it was coming out of Kansas after the Plum Island. Plum Island, what do you want to call it? The Plum Island issue. Okay. Anyway, 3-minute break. We'll be right back with Water Lily. Thank you.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why, with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
You must unite what has been set asunder.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. We're moving into the second hour of our broadcast today, and of course that always means that we are bringing in a guest of notable importance, and today is no exception, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be speaking with a young lady who goes by the name Water Lily, and of course not her real name, and we're going to talk about that a little bit also, because it is kind of one of the rules on our show that you have to come on with your real name unless you've got some pretty substantial reasoning behind not wanting to disclose your identity. And I think that Water Lily's story definitely meets that criteria, but it is obviously important for us to talk about that. So we'll talk about a little bit about that and about her extensive history with internet development and things like that. She is right now, we had Chris Kitsey on the show a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about unseen.is and seen.is. Now, Water Lily is a friend of Chris Kitsey's, and that's how we became acquainted with her. And she is one of the lead developers of seen.is. So we'll talk quite a bit about what seen.is is and how it functions on the internet and how it can benefit all of us if we switch over from places like Facebook to seen.is. And she's also the head administrator for Scene.is. So when you go on to Scene and check your account, any of the administrative announcements and things like that that are being made always come from the mouth of Water Lily. So we wanted to bring her onto the show not only to talk about the development of Scene.is as a response to some of the draconian information censorship that we see going on around the world, but she has extensive historical studying in her history as well. So she's been a military history researcher. She also did work on Vietnam records, World War II prisoners of war, and casualty records, things like that. At the end of 1999, she actually came across a story in an online newspaper about a group of spiritual students who were under severe persecution in China, which kind of opened the doors for her into this new area of investigation, which is human rights in China. So we're going to be talking quite a bit about that as well. So it's my pleasure to welcome Water Lily to the program today. Water Lily, thank you very much for joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Thank you, JD. I'm really glad to be here. That was a nice introduction.
Well, I had to leave out quite a bit of information because your background is exceptionally diverse. I want to go ahead and just say I think you're probably one of these people who is like me that a few years ago probably came to the realization that these computer things probably going to be around for a while, and maybe it would serve us to learn how to use them effectively. And I think that that's probably a situation that a lot of us find ourselves in now, this desire to really understand how computers work and to understand what some of the capabilities are out there that are kind of being thrown against us, so to speak, the censorship of information, our inability to communicate effectively, and things like that. So I want to get into all of that with you, but I wonder if before we get into that, if you would kind of fill in a little bit more about your background and how you became acquainted with Chris Kitsey and what it was that really inspired you to become so involved with Scene.is.
Well, first I'm going to tell you why I'm Water Lily, if you don't mind.
No, I think that's great.
We'll kind of flow into that. I'd worked in human rights investigation and reporting for 14, 15 years now. And this, working in the human rights field and also in any kind of investigative reporting can kind of put you in the sights of some unfriendly government, some unfriendly people. And so from the very beginning, I've always maintained a form of anonymity in my reporting and my writing, and have several websites out there, this kind of thing. And when I discovered the online social media world, which was maybe 3-4 years ago, I had to have a name, and I chose Water Lily because of the beautiful water lilies that grew near in a river where my grandfather's farm was, and it just seemed sort of appropriate. Mm-hmm. And so I've been Water Lily all along, and I've made friends under that name. So when I came to Scene, I kept that name for two reasons. People know me by that name already, and two, for a layer of anonymity between me and some kind of unfriendly people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like Chris use their full name and are not bothered by that. But my family gets a little bit antsy sometimes, and to put their minds at ease, I also do that. Mm-hmm. So how do I meet Chris? I was working on a project that was using Unseen as a communications platform. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of insulated from the rest of Unseen. And one day someone said, well, there's more to Unseen than this. I said, really? They said, yeah, there's a whole other part. So I went and signed up for the whole other part and found all of these neat people over on Unseen doing things over there and got involved in that. I've always thought that people should have the right to speak freely, and have been concerned that this right is really being eroded in the United States and Europe, well, around the world. Mm-hmm. We expect that from third world dictatorships, but we didn't expect it here.
Right.
And so Unseen kind of fit in with some sort of idealistic tendencies that I already had. And Chris and I became acquainted, and I started working more with Unseen on their communities. And then one day he said something about he'd like to have a version of social media that wasn't so that was more open and public.
Wasn't so NSA related, especially, essentially.
yeah, real social media thing. Unseen has very strict encryption, and that kind of gets in the way of, you know, people freely chatting with each other.
I just want to interject real quick, just because some people might not know. So Unseen is essentially like a Skype platform. It's an effective way to communicate. It's an encrypted, it's essentially an encrypted Skype platform. Isn't that how you would describe it?
Yeah, it has email. It has chat. It has excellent voice chat. The sound is just beautiful. I talk to people in Iceland, and it's like they're in the same room. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And video chat. And also group, you can form groups of people who talk. And so it's kind of our parent organization, Unseen is. But it's highly encrypted. It's very, very secure. And the NSA doesn't like it very much because of that.
Yeah.
And the location in Iceland. So Chris and I kind of put our heads together and tossed a lot of ideas around and this and that. And one day we say, well, let's, he said, find a platform. So I did. And he said, okay, now build it. And so that's kind of what I did with the help of other people, of course. But mm-hmm. it was kind of something, a sort of a vision we both shared together of the social media where people could communicate with each other freely, not have Big Brother looking over their shoulder, not have Google scooping up every scrap of information about them, not having the data miners come in and take all our information, a place where people could just talk to each other like we used to be able to mm-hmm. without all of the privacy invasion. So Scene is private and can be anonymous. We don't we don't require any ID for someone to join SING. So figuratively, JD, you could go over to the SING website and if you have an email address at some place like Inbox, one of those three places, mm-hmm. With a name, we're going to call you Superman, you could go sign up on SING as Superman. Hmm. With an anonymous email address. And if you didn't put a lot of family photos and blab a lot about what you're doing in your life, you would be anonymous on SING. No one would really know. And people do that. They like to just be able to go talk to people. It's kind of like going to the pub or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, how is it different than Facebook? A lot of people may not know that Facebook has recently decided to start asking for phone numbers, which I found to be really, really, you know, disheartening, because I don't need somebody from Facebook calling me on the phone. But what are some of the other things about, you know, the other social media sites out there that that were problems that you guys looked at and then said, we're going to make this better with Unseen?
Well, the ID, the thing with the identification is one. Google does the same thing. Google's always trying to get my phone number, mm-hmm. and I won't give it to them. And they get, you know, kind of pettish about it, but I don't think they should know my phone number either. I don't want to hear from them. The censorship of political and religious speech on other social media platforms is really a problem. I've had Christians kind of confide in me on SING that Facebook had been censoring their posts and disappearing their posts. Hmm. Some of the political ideas, conservative political ideas, are censored. Conspiracy, people who like to talk about conspiracies, such as Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook information is censored on Facebook, I'm told. Now, Sandy Hook, for people maybe who are in Europe, aren't familiar with Sandy Hook, but Sandy Hook was a school shooting incident. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of doubt as to whether it really happened or whether it was a drill that was turned into a media event.
Did you see the lawsuit that was filed over the weekend?
Did they file it? I knew they were going.
Shanley, this gentleman named Shanley, has now filed a $1 trillion lawsuit against every head of media. I mean, the president of MSNBC, the president of NBC, Rupert Murdoch. I mean, everybody, because they essentially took that incident, and which was a drill, in my opinion. And for those of you out there listening, we're going to have Wolfgang Halbig on the show on Friday too, so we'll be talking about this quite a bit. And I don't want to get too off subject now, but the lawsuit has been filed against the media in terms of their complicitness with fraud and with, you know, essentially they acted as terrorists and they profited off of it, which is incredibly illegal. So we're hoping that the Sandy Hook incident will become, we can actually get that wrapped up and decide once and for all and get the truth out that that was not, that no children died that day. I'm hoping that that will be the result of the lawsuit, but please continue.
Yes, I hope that's the result of the lawsuit, too. I knew that there was a lawsuit in the works, but I did not know that it had been filed, and that is really exciting.
Yes.
So, at any rate, you can come on to the SING and talk about Sandy Hook, to your heart's content, or any of the other current events that are sometimes censored on some of the other social media.
Yeah, I don't know
the
if you saw...
censorship and the privacy issues are two that are really big ones with people. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, that's what we say, we're private, and your political and religious speech is not censored. We have a few disgruntled users, but they stick around because we do have a language standard, a clean language standard.
Oh, okay.
And some people are really grumble about it. But on the other hand, they have the freedom to talk about other things that they can't talk about in other places. So we just kind of let them grumble over there in the corner and
right.
They don't go anywhere. They
well, how do you guys flag language issues? I mean, do you have moderators that look at what people are posting?
No, we don't. What we have is we have a filter, and when someone posts something, it goes through a software filter. We don't we don't read other people's stuff unless it's on, you know, unless it's on our particular feed. Mm-hmm. Although we do have abuse reports, people who do see abusive language, in other words, name calling and threatening and that kind of thing, or pornography. People can file abuse reports, and we go and investigate. And in that case, we do read what people are writing. But as far as the clean language, that's through a filter, and we don't. And there's almost 80,000 users now. We couldn't read all that stuff anyway.
Right. That's why I was curious that you'd have to have a pretty large staff of people kind of combing through stuff.
No.
Okay. So 80,000, that's huge. I don't think it was that high the last time I was on. I don't think we had even broached 60,000 yet. So that seems like a pretty significant increase.
We did, I think, 17,000 in 3 days or something. It's going. We're doing new memberships at the rate of about 2,000 a day over the holidays. There was a dip there, but generally we're from 3,000 to 5,000. A day, new users, and that has been real roller coaster ride, accommodating that many users that fast.
From a technological standpoint?
Yes. Yeah, technically, it's there have been some real challenges, mm-hmm. and just dealing with all of the people who have forgotten their passwords and how do I make friends and I don't like this guy and you know that kind of thing.
Right.
Really exciting.
What do you think with what your system is set at now, how many users do you think you guys anticipate being able to handle total?
I think Chris is set up for 500,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. And let's put it in perspective. How many people do we think are actually using Facebook right now?
I truly don't know. I haven't been on Facebook for a long time. But I think that there's millions and millions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we're no real threat to them. I mean, we're not even a million users. We're not even a half a million users. But, yeah, there are all sorts of little blogs and rumors and things going around Facebook about how bad Seen and Unseen are trying to discourage people from coming over here.
Oh, really? What kind of stuff are they saying?
What they generally do, and it's... it comes in from Facebook and from other places, too, probably NSA. The current trend of this last couple of weeks has been to intimate that Chris was involved in a company that gathered intelligence on people.
Okay.
What really is the truth is that as an internet pioneer, Chris saw the potential for using this technology to provide a valuable service, which is as a people finder and a background checker. So he and some other people formed Intellius, which is basically a people finder. And probably most of the people who are listening to this have used Intellius at one time or another, a service like it. They perform background checks and credit checks, that kind of thing. But all of their information is from public sources. It's all from public records.
Okay.
They do a great service because if I, say, had a daycare center here in the Northwest and someone came to apply for a job who had lived in Los Angeles or Chicago, I couldn't really go to City Hall or the county courthouse to check up on them. But through services like Intellius, I can go online and I can do background checks and find out whether this person is a child abuser or a drunken driver. If he is, I don't want him driving the school bus.
Right.
So this is what Intellius does. But the way that they're making this look feasible is they link to a story on LinkedIn, which is a site for professionals, a social media kind of thing, network thing for professional.
Mm-hmm.
And in Google, the first part of it will show his name and the company, and it chalks off the name so that only Intellius shows, and it looks like it says intelligence.
Oh, right.
And people click on that link, but they can't get in unless they have a LinkedIn account. Mm-hmm. So they're left with the impression that it's an intelligence gathering company, when really all it is a people finder, background checker, and it provides a very valuable service mm-hmm. to people like us and employers. So that's the latest thing. They've attacked the encryption and unseen. They're going after unseen a lot, and this confuses people because we're not unseen, we're seen.
Right.
And the claims that they make against unseen are pretty spurious, too. So this is the kind of thing they're doing, is they're trying to attack the owner. They're trying to attack unseen, just whatever they can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and okay, so how do you guys prepare for, I mean, is it all internet attacking, or do you guys actually deal with physical threats to some of the people that are involved, or what, you know, what's the level of, is it just online rumors, or what kind of, you know, attacks are you guys dealing with?
We're dealing with online rumors. We're dealing with people who read it on Facebook. I got something in my email yesterday. One of the women said, what's this all about? And it was a big Facebook blog that covered that material and had a lot of comments behind it. So they're doing that. It's a rumor thing, and truthfully, other than this one thing, I don't know where they're coming from, but I get a lot of people emailing me, and the other people on the staff do too, saying what's happening. So this weekend I worked on an about scene piece that I'll have over in our help and support areas. It just explains all of these things, just lays it out for people, and they can just go read.
What do you say to people who might be critics of allowing, you know, an online forum like that with the ability for people to be anonymous in this day and age? You know, are there people out there who are really anti giving people a platform for anonymous speaking? You know, we look at if you believe in the terrorism, you know, motif that seems to be carried out through the media these days. I could see someone mounting an attack against you guys for allowing people to come in and to post things without being able to verify who they are or where they're getting the information. Do you find you guys are under attack for that type of angle also?
No, we haven't been, and the reason why is because we don't allow the kind of communication which would be threatening to anyone, any person, any other person, any organization, or any government. So because we don't pose any threat, they don't really have any grounds to attack us that I know of. Now, they may come up with something. I don't think they will, but so far we haven't had that. But who knows what they'll try. The NSA, Facebook, the organizations who want to control speech and people just don't like the idea of people being able to speak their minds the way we allow it, and we just sort of take it a day at a time and deal with whatever comes up, and we try to be very open and transparent. If someone sends me an email, I answer it. So I tell them, and so does Chris.
Yeah, you guys have always been, Chris especially, has always been right on the cusp of, you know, a promptness. Whenever I've emailed him with a question or anything like that, he's always the first guy. He'll call me at 11 o'clock in the morning when I know he's got things to be doing, and we'll sit and chat for like an hour. So having you guys be as available to the users as you are is definitely, I don't know anybody that has ever successfully contacted someone at, you know, at Facebook or something like that. You know, one of the other things that Facebook was in the news for recently was the whole Minerva project that they were involved with over the last couple of years, especially during the last election cycle, where not only did they limit stories on people's news feeds, but they actually really manipulated which stories were going to go to which people, because they were trying to do an experiment on, you know, on emotional response to news and how they could use different news stories being presented to different people to control, you know, the emotional response of the populace. So that whole experimentation with my emotions is so startlingly unbelievable to me. I don't even know what to say about it. And obviously, you know, SEEN is not going to be an organization that's going to be working hand in hand with GCHQ or the NSA to do stuff like that. But man, there are so many startling reasons that I can come up with why you would not want to be involved with Facebook anymore. And yet I still seem to have a Facebook page. I still seem to, I can't seem to get away from it, even though I have a SEEN page .net, you know, right now. But I think this control over information, you know, like you said, they don't want there to be a format for people to actually be able to communicate. And I think that's the main battle that these people are fighting right now, is because the internet, you know, at its foundation is non-centralized information. It's, you know, the ability for all of us to get information from all corners of the earth so we can actually figure out what's going on, which obviously flies in the face of the people who are trying to control the agenda, or to control your emotions, or to control you know, your choices going forward by limiting the information that you're able to get. So I'm really, really a big supporter of SEEN.is, because I think that we need more places like this where we can go and demonstrate our knowledge to one another and then collectively start making better decisions. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that the field is wide open for startups, for companies to do that sort of thing, to provide an open information exchange platform of one kind or another. Mm-hmm. And we have plans for SEEN to take it further than kind of a Facebook clone. We'd like to do some other things with other media and community, online community development, so that it's not just a Facebook clone. And that, to me, is very important. Because Facebook is very involved in controlling the flow of information.
Oh.
You're right about our media. Our media controls the flow of information very tightly. I was doing article selection for a newspaper two, 3 years ago, and working for the Northwest section and going through newspaper articles, local newspapers, for local news, Washington, Idaho, Montana. Mm-hmm. And I was coming across exactly the same stories in these newspapers. Tuesday, here's what they were reporting all over the Northwest.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Oh, it's crazy. If you go onto YouTube and just look up scripted news, you can see news anchors from around the country on the same nights literally using the exact same phrases in their words. I mean, it's so blatantly ridiculous. There's a great movie called Spin that I highly recommend as a documentary to go and check out. Anyway, we've got a 3-minute break we've got to take. We are speaking with Water Lily today.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We all know the importance of having storable foods. But what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
You make a great team. It's been that way since the day you met. But your erectile dysfunction? It could be a question of blood flow. Sometimes when a politician has been in D.C. too long, it goes to his head, and he just can't seem to get the job done. Used on a daily basis, Winter Egg in Congress will help you every time the moment is right to have your voice heard at the federal level. When using Winter Egg, it's important to note that the borders will be secured, Second Amendment rights protected, Obamacare and Planned Parenthood will be defunded, and common sense will be used in solving the nation's problems. Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration, the inability to punch oneself out of a wet paper bag,
or maintain a spine in the face of liberal opposition,
amore, de gramine verde, smoking,
and golf. If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention. Winter Egg. Because Boehner shouldn't count his chickens before they hatch.
It's Boehner.
I'm J.D. Winter Egg, and I approve this message.
Chris and Chiriccio, Saturdays and Sundays, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I love the Boehner commercial. I'm not going to, I giggle profusely every time I hear that. If you've had a Boehner lasting more than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention. Man, that just makes me smile. Anyways, moving into the final segment of our show today. Thank you guys for sticking with us. We are speaking with the one and only Water Lily. She is the Outfront administrator on the social media platform Scene.is. There is also another component to that platform called Unseen.is. And really, what we're talking about when we're talking about these components and platforms is the ability to control your own information, ladies and gentlemen, the ability to get information unfettered from around the world and then share it with your friends, because essentially we have to take the role of journalism on, because we are not, there are no journalism, you know, there's no journalists anymore. There's no people that are going to tell you the things that you may not want to hear. And I always say that if you have a journalist on TV and they're just telling you what you want to hear, well, that's not journalism, that's public relations is essentially what those people are. And you also have to remember that every single thing you see on television, be it a product, a person, or a perspective, is for sale. You have to always bear that in mind, that there is a reason that they are telling you what they are telling you. And there's also a reason that they are omitting the things that they are omitting. And one of the things that seems to be omitted all of the time, something that we just don't want to talk about as Americans, are the human rights conditions that are going on around the globe, and specifically in China. And I know, Water Lily, that you have focused a lot of attention on human rights conditions in China, and that has actually been a nexus for you, or as a motivator, a catalyst for you to help in the development of Scene. Will you talk a little bit about your discovery of these human rights issues and what the nexus is between them and your development of Scene?
I sure will. It happened late in 1999. I read a newspaper article in the online London Telegraph about a group of spiritual followers called Falun Gong, mm-hmm. who were being dreadfully persecuted in China. And yet they wouldn't stop doing it. And knowing a little bit about the history of China, I knew that the Chinese government put down the massive demonstrations in Tiananmen Square, mm-hmm. And that just sort of killed the democracy movement. But these people were not going down, and I thought, well, I wonder what these people have that they're willing to risk what they risk, the torture and losing their jobs, all these things, and I investigated it and read something about it, and then a couple of months later, I found myself in severe pain and remembered I'd read that people had used this Falun Gong, which has some exercises that appear to be like Tai Chi, but they're not Tai Chi, and got some relief from their pain, and so I decided to try it, and was able to make contact with some Chinese people who were at a nearby university and learned the exercises and got dramatic relief. Hmm. And so from then on, that was my entry into the field of Chinese human rights, and have been working in that field ever since. The idea of information control is absolutely essential in a despotic government, in a controlling government, and China excels at it. I work on a newsletter wrap-up for China human rights issues. And one of the features every week, most every week, is from a place called China Digital Times, and they publish these things they call a mini-truth. And what a mini-truth is the instructions that come down from the Ministry of Propaganda to all the media about how the media will approach certain issues. Do not emphasize this. Do not mention this. Do not put this on the front page. Do not do any reporting on your own. That kind of instruction. Mm-hmm. And when I first started doing it, I thought, boy, that's really that's really tight control. And as I've done it through the years, I've realized, wait a minute. And when I started doing the article selection for the Northwest, I realized the same thing's happening here. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing is happening here. That somewhere there is a central the propaganda agency that's telling our media, here's what to report, here's not, you know, here's what you don't say, here's what you won't report on. And it's probably happening all over the world. And this is, to me, really despicable, especially in the United States, where we were supposedly given a government that was not going to interfere with the press.
Right.
And now it obviously does. Sandy Hook, that we were talking about previously today, is a big example of that. So that's how I got into this, and I've been working with China Human Rights ever since then.
So let's put that into a little bit of perspective. How many Falun Gong practitioners are reported in China right now?
There is no figure. The reason why is Falun Gong was banned in 1999, and the people who are practicing Falun Gong aren't—they don't have a census taker counting them. We know that thousands upon thousands of Falun Gong practitioners have disappeared. We know that China is involved in harvesting the organs of Falun Gong practitioners.
Wow.
David Mattis and David. I can't remember his name. The two Davids wrote a book called Bloody Harvest after doing an investigation. This is the secretary for the Asia Pacific for the Canadian government. I mean, this guy is not a lightweight. And the other fellow is a noted human rights lawyer. And they did enough investigation that they decided, yes, that the charges that China is harvesting organs from Falun Gong practitioners is true.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And what's even more unbelievable is the thousands of experimental operations that the Chinese surgeons performed. I've read through translation Chinese articles about Chinese surgeons who were bragging about how many liver transplants they could do a day, how few minutes it took to transplant a liver. Well, where are they getting the livers to practice on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the United States and Canada and the civilized world, you know, it may take months, even a couple of years, to get an organ transplant. Yet in China, it only takes a couple of weeks. And organ transplant doctors outside of China say they must have a tremendous, huge organ bank of people who are willing donors, but the Chinese culturally don't donate their organs. So we have this problem here that legitimate doctors in the free world no longer attend conferences in China on transplantation, and China is becoming kind of a pariah. And just recently they announced again that they were going to stop harvesting organs from prisoners, but they've done that at least 2-3 times that I can remember.
And it's just so frightening to me, because if you really think about it, you know, the people that are out there trying to get organs are these wealthy people that, you know, for them, They're not going to wait on a list. You know, if they know somebody exists in the prisons there, or is somebody working in a factory someplace that has a kidney that they need, you know, it's got to be nothing for them to just reach out and, you know, create a fake accident or do something. Because just like you said, you know, the Chinese are not specifically really all that akin to donating their organs. It's not something like you see here in the United States. But that is a frightening proposition that wherever there is a market, there will be somebody to fulfill that need, you know.
What is even more frightening is that for years since 1999, the Chinese government has been rounding up Falun Gong practitioners and incarcerating them and using them for medical experiences and using them as their bank for transplant organs. The Falun Gong practitioners in the labor camps were always given, and still are, given physical examinations, blood types, all of this. And it wasn't because the government liked them, because they abused them horribly, tortured them, mm-hmm. but so that they could build this organ bank. Now they're based literally running the practitioners down on the streets and taking DNA samples so that they can match up the DNA for the organ transplant. So they've got people in basic prisons just doing slave labor until the day comes when somebody wants their heart and kidneys. That's barbaric, and that needs to be reported. But, you know, mainstream media, there's no country in the world who's really reporting that story, and they've known for a long time that this is going on. They knew when President Bush was president that there were organs being transplanted from Falun Gong practitioners. So I think that the more that we can get that story out, the better, because that's not the sort of thing that should be happening in a civilized world, a moral world.
Well, certainly not 2015. I mean, we're at a point now where, you know, we can get information about this stuff and nobody wants to do anything about it. You know, we hear blips of this in the mainstream because I think last Christmas, I want to say in the UK, there were a couple of items that were purchased in malls and things like that that had notes, you know, squirreled away from people who were prisoners in these factories over there. And you'll hear a little bit about it, but then there's never any follow-up on it. You know, it's just, this is awful and it's happening. Now everybody go to the mall and buy stuff from China. There doesn't seem to be any kind of break in that chain of atrocity to make products for us. I mean, looking at the iPad and the iPhone, for example, you've got all these very expensive minerals being mined out of the ground in very, very unsafe conditions, oftentimes by kids. And we're talking about minerals that are really bad for you. I mean, you can't just expose yourself to lithium and to mercury and things like that. So then they take all these, really rare minerals and things like that to build these phones. We use children to harvest that stuff out of the ground, and then that's sent to factories in China where people are, they literally have to put nets up outside of these factories to keep people from jumping off of the roof. I mean, this isn't a joke. This is the iPod in your pocket. All slave labor, all the way up through the delivery to the store. You know, we're paying kids in Federal Reserve notes to stand in a store and to sell us this slave labor material. It's just astounding when you really stop and look at it. And obviously, that's why they don't want us to stop and look at it, because it's going to screw up the whole global economy. You know, but I absolutely commend you for being brave enough to bring issues like this to the forefront, because these are the kind of discussions we need to have. You need to have quality information so you can make quality decisions going forward. And you cannot blame someone for buying an iPhone who's never looked into where the iPhone comes from or what owning something like that might do to the global population. You know, so until we can have places like Seen and Unseen in order to convey all these types of information so we can actually get the real truth out, we're really doomed to never really understand the world that we live in. And I think that's the plan, is that they want to keep us confused, you know?
I think you're right. And being an American and growing up with some understanding of manufacturing process, I had no idea that so many products in the world were not made by machines. They were made by people. working in terrible working conditions. I won't even buy bedroom slippers anymore. My poor slippers are just terrible. I mean, they look like a dog drugs them around. They're awful. But I won't buy bedroom slippers anymore because I know the conditions they're made in. They're made in by people who are not allowed to leave, people who are held prisoner. Mm-hmm. They're made in small rooms with no ventilation, no safety precautions, people slaving for 14 hours a day, daubing these toxic glues on this fabric and gluing it together. I've read the stories of how these people end up with nosebleeds, vomiting, headache, tumors, who have been poisoned just by these toxic contact cements that they use in making flippers. And this
That's
is just one example.
Mm-hmm.
But yet people don't realize that they think that in the United States and England and Germany, they think that people are just standing at the end of an assembly line picking the slippers off and putting them in boxes or something.
Right.
They have no idea that people who are involved in making these things. The picture of me with that little bear is just one of the examples of the kind of things that come out of the toy factories in China. It's, you know, I call that bear around the things to show people. It looks so cute and so harmless. But to me, this cute, harmless bear is the absolute symbol of the atrocity and the of the manufacture and the lies that are told us about products that we buy every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story of the bear. I mean, I don't, I'm really kind of old to be carrying a teddy bear around.
Well, but it's a nice looking bear. I mean, let's be fair, you know.
Yeah,
but
it is a
I think you need examples these days of really stuff like that, which will startle people because you look at the bear and you think, oh, it's the sweet little bear. Same thing with the slippers, you know, and I am one of these guys that's real skeptical about anything anyway coming from overseas, especially China, and not necessarily in a, how do I put this? I'm suspect of the chemicals and things that are on a food stuff. I mean, we've seen so many reports of dog treats, cat treats coming here that were tainted with metals and, you know, pets dying. We've had a story last week about the e-cigarettes that come from China, which by themselves may not be a bad deal, but they have malware on them. And so when you plug them into your computer then links back to whoever made the malware in the first place. So there's a lot of indications about the things from China causing health concerns, you know, them using radioactive metal in some of the components of the things that they build. So it's not just the safety of the people there, which are obviously is a concern, but it's also the safety of the people who are buying those products. And you brought up the slippers, and one of the things that I'm always curious about or that I've always suspected, and this is going to sound stupid, but if you were China and you didn't really like Americans, which is kind of the motif that seems to be played back and forth, at least on the general population level, wouldn't you try and use those products to inflict damage against people? Like, wouldn't you take a slipper and fill it full of something that's going to cause foot fungus or something like that? Because it always seems like every time I get a new pair of slippers from China, I've got to deal with some sort of foot thing that happens because of it. And maybe that's just me, and I don't mean to be just airing my dirty laundry out here on the air, but I'm always curious about, you know, about a retaliatory or a, you know, an offensive strategy that's being employed by these people also to put chemicals in the products that they, I mean, they obviously don't care about their own people, but that might be detrimental to us. Do you have other stories of things like that that's come across your radar?
I don't have stories of the deliberate addition of chemicals to products, but and I do have stories about clothing manufacturers, specifically the really nice cashmere sweaters and things that are coming out of China. They come out of North China. And in there are stories which are compiled from personal stories out of people who had previously been inmates in in prisons and in labor camps. Some of the stories tell about the convicts who are also in the prisons and labor camps who really resent being there and deliberately wipe mucus, pus. There are a lot of people in the camps who have scabies, and the scabs come off and they're pussy. Wipe their nose on it, urinate on these things, deliberately do the filthiest things they can to products, clothing products, and I assume other soft products that come out of China. The companies, of course, wash the products before they're sent out, but I often wonder, do they really wash them out that well? Mm-hmm. So there are definitely reported stories of people in the camp who are trying to inflict damage on the people who buy the product. You were absolutely right. And other places, the negligence. I read stories from a labor camp where the inmates were, the job was to package popsicle sticks and that kind of thing, the mm-hmm. kind of skewers, mm-hmm. wooden product. And they just dumped them on the shelves next to the pesticides that other people were packaging into paper packages. So the wood products would have been contaminated at least somewhat by the pesticides that were also on the shelf.
Wow.
So I don't remember anything China in my mouth.
I mean, that if that doesn't put it into perspective for you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what would. I mean, that to me, that's always been a concern of mine, thinking, you know, if I were these people and I wanted to remove population from the United States, this would be a great way to do it. You know, they could taint any of all of our products. But I'd never actually heard any real instances until just right now. Startling. And again, buy local. I mean, this is what we need to do to fix this country anyway, is to address your homes and your hearts and your communities. And, you know, we can build a nation of interconnected, self-sustaining communities, just like Gandhi suggested, and we won't have any of these issues. You know, we need to get, in my opinion, away from the whole convenience-driven lifestyle. I mean, I'm one of these people, I don't have a cell phone, I don't have a television, I don't have any of those things because I don't want to be susceptible to these other motives that might be out there. But so many motives, it seems to me, unfolding, you know, around the world right now. Lily, in relation to the human rights of China, you mentioned that you write a newsletter. Where can people find that newsletter? Where can people find more about this issue?
If you want to receive the newsletter, it comes out by email, usually on Sunday, mm-hmm. and you can email me, waterlily, with no space in between, one word, waterlily, at unseen.is. And I'll see to it that you get on the mailing list.
Okay. Will you mention that email address one more time?
Waterlily, waterlily, mm-hmm. at unseen.is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be sending you an email because I'd like to get on your newsletter there. So, okay, we've got about 4 minutes left today, Lily. Let's get back onto the seen and the unseen.is. Why specifically would you recommend that everybody rush out, get rid of their Facebook, and jump over to seen as of today? What would you say to people to get them really informed about what the capabilities of seen are and why they need to step there as opposed to Facebook?
What I would say is that coming to scene, people come in and you can almost see the relief. It's as if they sense that they have been watched and surveilled and spied upon in other places, and they come into scene and they get this feeling that they're like breathing clean air.
Right.
It's almost tangible. Chris has mentioned it, and I've mentioned it. I see the people come in, and they kind of look around, and they realize it's different. It's just different. And I can't explain it any further than that, except that people seem to smell the freedom in there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. So, again, Facebook, selling all of your data. You are the product now. A lot of people don't understand that when it comes to Google, is that the whole goal with Google is not to sell you things. It's to sell you and your information and your demographic and your shopping habits to other companies. And that's why Google is so profoundly successful, because they have essentially monetized you. And Facebook is following right along with that. We've talked about manipulation of information. We've talked about the experiments that they've done with their news feed and things like that, not to mention the Snowden revelations that obviously show us without a shadow of a doubt that everything that you type on Facebook is filtered right to a main big screen, or the big board, as they would call it in the old movies, at the NSA. So, you know, it comes down to a personal choice for everybody, I think, is that either you want to be part of that system, you don't mind being manipulated, you don't mind other people reading your information, or you do. You believe in liberty, you believe in the free flow of information, and you want to do something about it. And again, that's something that you can do about it right now, is to join Scene.is. And I tell you what, being part of that first 100,000 group, I think, is going to be a monumental cap you'll be able to put in your hat someday, don't you think, Lily?
I think it is. I really do. I think that people are going to be able to say, yeah, I knew it when it was just real small, and there were some places where they were just kind of stumbling along. And look at it now. Mm. I'm so glad I was part of it. I think people will say that. I think they'll be proud.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, Water Lily, we are just about out of time for the day. It is with esteemed pleasure that I thank you for coming on to the program today to talk about all of these issues. Very brave for talking out against China right now, given our current, meeting with them, and I really, really want people to support you and to support Seen and Unseen.is. So people out there, if you are listening to this program, go check those platforms out. There are, there's definitely something there for us, and I think that moving into the future, it's only going to be a more welcome environment and a better environment. So thank you so much for joining us on the program today, Water Lily.
Thank you. This has been really fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. We'll have it do. We'll try and get a date together for about a month from now, if that's okay with you. And you can keep us up to date on any developments with Seen and Unseen that are coming out of the program there. Just to let everybody know, Sheriff Mack will be here tomorrow. Obviously, Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association head. We'll be talking about constitutional sheriffs. We'll be talking about the real role of law enforcement, and maybe some of the changes that we can see here in society to get us back on track with law enforcement. So I'm definitely looking forward to that discussion. Thank you guys for being here. Once again, this has been your Monday edition of the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Keep it on this dial, Truth Frequency Radio. There'll obviously be a fantastic show coming up next. I don't have any idea what it is, but everything at Truth Frequency, all the hosts are so amazing. Please support Truth Frequency Radio. Also, we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Take care,
everybody.
When
you think of your iPhone, you think of your very identity. It becomes such a part of you that you need it, like a junkie needs crack cocaine. But that junkie always needs more. So for the iPhone 5, we took the last iPhone, our most amazing design yet, and gave it 18% more excellence. It gives you the iPhone 5. With this radical new way of thinking, we took the iPhone 4S and completely retooled and redesigned the entire structure. We were able to make it thinner, longer, lighter, shinier, heavier, thicker, and much wider.
Simply put, this level of invention and quality control has never been matched in human history.